Microphones on, and we ready to.
All right, everyone, welcome to the council meeting of May 2024. It's 9:21 AM. In the spirit of open, accessible, and transparent, the Herrigan Shire Council's meetings are audio recorded. By speaking at a council meeting, members of the public agree to being recorded. Herrigan Shire Council accepts no liability for any defamatory, discriminatory, or offensive remarks or gestures that are made during the course of the council meeting. Opinions expressed or statements made by individuals are the opinions or statements of those individuals and do not imply any form of endorsement by Herrigan Shire Council. Confidential matters of council will not be audio recorded. Recordings are protected by copyright and owned by Herrigan Shire Council. No part may be copied, recorded, reproduced, or transmitted without the prior written consent of the CEO. Any recording is not and shall not be taken to be an official record of Herrigan Shire Council meetings or the discussion therein. Only the official minutes may be relied upon as an official record of the meeting. An audio recording of the council meeting will be taken for administrative and minute preparation purposes only and provided to the public for listening purposes to support council's statutory obligation. We acknowledge the original inhabitants whose country we are gathered on, and we pay respect to elders past, present and future, and extend respect to all First Nations people. We have the statement of obligations of there and the disclosure of interest. Apologies and leave of absence. We have an application for leave of absence from Paul Marriott, and Councillor Payne is expecting to join us on Microsoft.
Oh, she looks like she's... Is she in the waiting room there?
Yes, on her way. Okay. So we have one leave of absence. Do we need to... Yeah, do we have a mover? Yes, not sessions of Councillor Hattie or favour, carried.
Mayor, can I just raise something? I have raised it before, but just for completeness, I will be away overseas from the 23rd of May to the 5th of July. So.
All right. For Councillor Taylor, do we have a mover?
How far out did you want to know we were away?
Well, you've only got.
Go ahead, what we're doing.
I think it's from the 23rd of June till. End of April.
That's a whole year.
I think it's a month or 6 weeks.
To August, do you mean?
No, I don't think it's August. But
June,
I think,
July.
Yeah. June, I need July. To correct, get the dates right because I'm being told where I'm going. So.
Well, that's
okay.
Fair.
All right, so we've got all those leave of absence. We had Councillor Hattie come through, but all in favour. Okay. Audio. We're still waiting.
Yeah, I thought she was. That's a request to join. She's not in the waiting room.
I see. Yeah. Okay. So, by audio visual link, we've got Councillor Hannan and Councillor Payne to continue. Confirmation of previous minutes. We've got a recommendation that the minutes of the ordinary council meeting held in the council chambers 17th April be confirmed, and that the minutes of the extraordinary council meeting on Wednesday 24th be confirmed. Do we have a minute for those? Taylor, second by Councillor Hattie, all in favour. Great. Any disclosures of interest? Mayor or minutes, none. Reports of interest, none. Reports of all. Have the HR scan, which is received and note the report. Have a
Yeah, just thank you for that. Just two questions, and obviously they stand out, so they got it through the report. Would understand them. So obviously the retention percentage is still not where the rate should be. And just question there would be one, I understand we're struggling with those positions, but what are we doing to try and amend that? And the absentee rate, obviously, the 1.5
So the retention rate remains a problem, and some of it is that we've had a few people leave recently for other positions. I think we had a couple of positions that were only filled quite quickly, and then they've had better offers. So and we are developing a attraction and a retention framework in the next little while. So that's happening as well with our workforce plan. So we are looking at why we are having that turnover. Some of it is that we simply can't offer the levels of money that other areas are. So they're running away for better pay, which is I can't compete with, and I don't believe we really can afford to do. So that's some of the retention issues that we are having. I think you'll find for most councils, the particularly skilled areas, that's a real issue for 90% of the councils at the moment in rural and regional areas. We have, however, done really well on our outdoor team. They are almost full now, I believe. We've filled greater positions and things like that, which we haven't been able to fill for some time. So I'm hoping that will calm down. The overtime rate, the absenteeism rate, we have brought overtime down a little bit, but not significant enough. So we're actually working on overtime because I believe strongly that there is a strong link between the overtime and the absenteeism. The more overtime we do, the more people tend to just go like, oh, God, I'm going to have a day off. I'm so tired. So we are looking at that. There is a number of things for sick leave and things like that we've had another run at COVID. I know that we had, like, poor Talia was out for a good week, so we've had another run at that through the office and a few other things. But I do watch that overtime and absenteeism rate in particular, because they do tend to be quite linked, and so they are in a downward trend, but they're not coming down fast enough. I would agree with that.
Mm-hmm. On the third page of the report, there's a graph there.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a key there that refers to leaders. It talks about green is regrettable, red is non-regrettable, orange is unspecified. And I wonder what that means.
So I think that is the people that have said, oh, like, you know, we're sorry that we've left, but something else has come up. I'm guessing, and the regrettable is that's the regrettable. The non-regrettable are, we really don't like you when we're off, and so we haven't got any of those, you'll notice. And the unspecified is where they just don't tell us why. Really, they just say, like, thanks so long and thank you.
Can we get some form?
Yes, I think that would be a really good idea.
I'd probably say that is.
No, that's fair enough.
Employee satisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
And I know in the notes to the table it says something about it being difficult to measure, but I still couldn't work out what the fraction are. So we've got for April 24, 50 out of 98, and it's a scale of 1 to 5, 5 being the highest. I can't fathom what that's actually telling me.
Okay, yep, I'm going to have to look at that too.
Take that on notice?
Yep, I think that one will be on notice.
Okay.
Yeah, it's consistent now with the framework that we've been provided to, isn't it? So, yeah.
So we've never had a conflict of interest policy before? It was all just part of code of conduct, was it?
No, this is a bit different.
This is a little bit different, and it is a bit... our new minister is very strong on he doesn't want real estate agents and other people to be able to be councillors. So this is part of that sort of process, and making sure that councillors are very clear when developments are occurring, that if they're getting, you know, people saying, oh, come out to site and have a look at this, there is a line, there's a very important line. Yeah, probably over to you. Over to our, yeah.
Direct.
easiest way to think about it, councils making their own application, which we do, subdivisions, that in effect that we're going to apply as policy so we don't come up proper and make a poor decision without going for the conflict of interest. So if it's over a certain size, we'll make sure that we go out and give notice to do certain things, but in regards to a dollar amount. What this does is just protect councils to make sure that we're transparent. It's a newer provision.
I just have a practical, you know, we live in small communities, we know lots of people, we might even have lots of relatives, distant and otherwise. Just from a practical, like, I mean, if I look, for example, I'm a principal in a law firm, and it's potentially possible that I might have, you might do work for a significant percentage of the people that live in the what is the expectation on that? Because it might, just like a, it might actually. Can you address that for me, Matt? Okay.
So, those matters.
Okay.
By the council themselves as an organisation to make, obviously, if we're making our applications and then assessing them, we've got a conflict and we need to make sure that they're managing that conflict. That's what we're about. In terms of councillors lodging applications, there's the code of conduct, then yes, it does get in terms of making decisions on assessments being made by third parties.
Section 6 talks about personal conflicts, and I agree that's appropriate, but it really is talking about a conflict that you have a role at and you also represent. Also, I could be Section 6 and all the different things talk about a person. I just think it means something to wrap up rather than just a person.
I think we'll change it to be about an officer.
Yeah. Officer, yeah. Make it really conflict. The mover and seconder be happy with those amendments?
Yes.
All right. Any other?
Yeah, just sort of going further along those sort of situations. And maybe my examples are not the best. Maybe they're clearer ones. But I just think it's always a practical problem that if you're in these small communities, maybe you play tennis with, you know, you play in a lot of different sports. You know, in some ways, in a smaller community, you know more people than you would in the city as far as your immediate neighbours. And I just think that, on the one hand, the test appears to be, well, if you know people or you've got some, you know, whether it's minor or major, that seems to be the basis, but that's very difficult in these communities to have a balance to be able to do it. It doesn't necessarily mean there's any favouritism, but there is the aspect, well, if you know them, then that's it. But that to me, that's an issue for our communities, really, practically.
It is. There's a lot of research on the more difficult those situations.
Yeah.
I think you'd be on the safe side. You should become a celebrant hermit.
My kids might.
Celebrant hermit.
If I may, the amount of occasions that councillors are going to be called under this policy is going to be fair.
Yes.
In general terms, this is for the planning officers when assessing applications to ensure that they don't have the conflict.
Yeah.
This isn't about councillors' code of conduct. This is a internal policy.
No, I get
it. DAs.
Correct. So the CEO puts the pressure in. Sarah, saying this is an important council project, to make it happen.
Yeah.
Because that would be very naughty of
her. All right. So all in favour of the resolution? Excellent. Carried. 8.3, development determination for the month of April 2024. We are to receive and note this report. Do we have a motion? Councillor Nort, second. Now Councillor Hattie, there's not many of us in the room. Any comments? No, all in favour of receiving noting. Excellent. Carried. Up to 8.4, leases to be signed under seal. The recommendation is that Council authorise its seal to be affixed to the following leases in the presence of two signatories authorised to affix the seal pursuant to Clause 4 of the Local Government General Regulation 2021, and that's Finlay Senior Citizen Hall Arts Network Inc. and Shop 22 Millicott Street Token. Any questions or comments? No? All in favour? Thank you. 8.5, the closure of Wars Hill Road. Recommendation is that Council note the Chief Executive Office's decision to close the section of road identified in the report. On creation of title, delegate authority to the CEO to directly negotiate a sale of the former road reserve to the adjoining owner, subject to obtaining an independent valuation on an added value basis, and delegate authority to the Mayor and CEO to authorise its seal to be affixed to the contract for sale of this land. The presence of two signatories authorised to affix the seal to Clause 400 of the Local Government General Regulation 2021. We have a mover. Councillor Hattie. Any questions or comments?
This is quite consistent with other road things that have been done before, and I think the picture is pretty clear that it was used as part of their business anyway.
It just seems to make sense. So we just said, let's just be sensible and do it.
So does the road go right through, or is it just purely the little bit that's painted?
It's
what
the dead
end. The rest of the road? It's been closed at some other stage, hasn't it?
It's been closed since back when the Wise Brothers built.
Since 1909, just a little short time.
So it's all part of that same. Is the mill, is it on private land or is that part of it as well?
Mm.
Like a separate title again to what? Because I think there was talk at one stage of putting a glass, not that this is really affected anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. All in favour of the recommendation? Mike carried. 8.6. Finlay Log Cabin Museum and Mary Lawson Wayside Rest. Recommendation is that Council support the request from Finlay Log Cabin and Mary Lawson Wayside Rest Committee of Management to transition to an incorporated association and to work with the Committee of Management to develop and implement a plan for the transition. Do we have a mover? Councillor Taylor, or a seconder? Councillor Reynolds? Director of Corporate Services, would you like to speak to
me? The Finlay Log Cabin Museum and the Mary Lawson Wayside Rest, they applied for, essentially what happened is they are applying for a grant. The person who was helping them write the grant suggested that they become incorporated as it would enable them to get the grant easier. Council officers, including myself, are in support of this. We think it makes sense. There is a few items that we will need to work through with them as they are on Crown land, so we'll need to... There's a few steps that need to happen before they can just take over things. They hold a number of council assets, but essentially we're just wanting council support in moving this way, and then at a later date we'll come back to council with a plan of what needs to happen.
Yep. Clinton, the digital museum project that we're working on started, this could be a very good candidate to try and get some of those assets digitised. So as a requirement, and then maybe get them valued and work out who owns them. All in favour of that one, or any other comments?
There's something happening out there.
Shall we stop for a moment?
I'm not sure. There's just seems to be a problem in there. Can you just go check the
deck? Let's have a break. We'll just pause for a break.
It's at 8.7, which is the finance accounts. And the recommendation is that council receive the financial statement, bank reconciliation certificate and petty cash book made up to 30 April 2024. We confirm the accounts paid as per warrant number 04-24, totalling $3,813,238.64, and note the report on investments attached. Do we have a mover? Councillor Taylor, a seconder. Councillor Reynoldson, any questions or comments? No? All in favour? Excellent. Thank you. That was quick.
That was quick.
8.8. We have a recommendation that we note the second quarterly review of the 23-24 budget and vote the funds contained therein as shown in Appendix 1, and that we note the December quarterly budget review statement attached also as Appendix 2. Do we have a mover? Councillor Taylor, a seconder? Councillor Hattie, any questions or comments? All right, all in favour? Excellent. Well,
didn't need to worry at all.
All right, 8.9, Council Action List. The recommendation is that we receive and note the Council Action List report. Do we have a mover for that? Councillor Taylor, second to Councillor McNaught. Any questions or comments? There are still a few quite old actions in there. There's one from the last council.
Yep, which is the...
On hold indefinitely. Can we organise for that to be rescinded?
Yep, we can. Which is, sorry, just looking at your...
197-2021.
Oh, the trade waste. Liquid trade waste. We can. We'll have to bring back a liquid trade waste policy we haven't actually implemented. So that's not too bad, yeah? Well, we could do that, yeah. Okay, we'll bring that back
Let's
next...
Let's do something to resolve some of these very old ones.
Yep.
Any other...
So a few of those, since we did the budgeting the other day, a lot of those aren't really relevant now, are they? We can wipe them off and bring them back later when...
When they pop back up into the budget?
Yeah. Have them sitting there?
Yeah, sure, we can do that.
Yeah, it would be good to tidy them up in the next couple of meetings.
Yes.
Okay. Excellent. So all in favour of that? Carried. Thank you. All right, 8.10. Correspondence incoming and outgoing. This is just for information. So does anyone have any questions on any of this correspondence?
There wasn't a lot this time, which is fine.
I have forwarded some information in relation to the Finlay Hospital. Some of it remains confidential, but is interesting reading. So I'd suggest you do read it.
I included the ones that were not confidential in that.
Yes. Yeah. And I have asked the feedback on the Finlay Hospital closes on the 24th of May, I think. Am I saying the right date? Maybe not.
Yep.
Anyway, I'll let everyone... I've asked them to extend it because the date that the Mayor's message goes into the paper was the day it was closed, or very close to that. So I've asked for a few extra days so people get an opportunity to respond. But that was just for information. All right. 8.12. Rural, regional and remote healthcare submission. The recommendation is that we endorse the submission as made to the Select Committee on Remote, Rural and Regional Healthcare. Do we have a mover for that one? Someone to move that one?
Yeah.
Councillor Taylor. Second to Councillor McNaught. Any questions or comments? No? Excellent. All in favour? Thank you. Carried. 8.13, Federal Inquiry into Local Government Sustainability Submission. The recommendation is that Council endorse the submission made to the Federal Inquiry into Local Government Sustainability. Do we have a mover?
Okay.
Councillor Taylor, a seconder. Councillor Hattie, any questions or comments? Did you want to say anything about that one?
Oh, I can say that that one was probably the primary focus of the Rural and Regional Summit the other day, wasn't it? That there is a large concern that at every time they go to council sustainability, the answer is because KPMG does the report, let's just amalgamate some more. So we're making sure that we have things in that say amalgamations don't work. What they do is cost us more. So we're hoping that that is heard. I know it's at the federal level. It's the first time the federal government have actually done something in the financial sustainability of local councils. And that doesn't mean we shouldn't be concerned or, you know, at least have our say in there, because it has the ability to help us with actually getting untied grants. But I don't want the adverse impacts, because they will do what they've always done. They engage private consultants who actually have never worked in local government to provide an answer to how to fix this. So, yeah. I have not had a chance to interrogate the federal budget yet. I'm sorry. I will have a look at that in the next couple of days.
No, nothing.
So, federal budget, Roast recovery has been continued and increased as per pledged.
Yeah.
Roads
and Community Infrastructure Program
has been canned, so there won't be any more funding from that other than what's already been released. Financial assistance grants, as far as I can see, they have stopped the process of paying them forward, which is going to have an impact on your financial statements for 23-24. You are going to have an artificial deficit of somewhere around about 3-4 million, and so will every other council in New South Wales.
Remembering they paid us forward for this financial year already, so it's
They paid us for 23-24 in 22-23.
Mm.
So, and they've been doing that for some time. Now they've decided to stop. Every council in New South Wales, other than the really large ones that rely more on
in Australia,
Australia, is going to make a deficit. Last time they did this, the New South Wales government said the sector's unsustainable. Look at all these councils making deficits. We'll amalgamate them.
So you can see the concern we have.
Timing issue and not a actual
substantive one.
Yeah.
Is it a deliberate point?
Don't think so. Oh, this is the federal government who's made this call.
It depends on the policy settings. I'm actually not going to lie. I don't know what's coming, but I know that we've got state and federal governments across the country looking into the sustainability of councils, and that concerns me. That this happens now will make our budgeting very difficult.
Yep. All in favour of that report? Thank you. I realise I have skipped over 8.11. My apologies. It was for information only, which was the council election update reminders. Does anyone have any questions or comments in relation to that one?
It was just a reminder because we're getting closer, so I just wanted to remind everyone of the dates and the, you know, all that stuff.
Yep. And the minister said that there will be 1 week of pre-poll instead of two this time.
Yes. That's what he's determined. That's all you need.
Okay. All right. 8.14, pedestrian access and mobility plans. The recommendation is that council endorse the pedestrian access and mobility plan for Baruga, Berrigan, Finlay and Tokemwal and place all documents and public exhibition for 28 days as required under section 160 of the LGA. Do we have a mover? Councillor Taylor, second to Councillor Reynoldson. Any questions or comments?
Yeah, look, I've just had some trouble getting into that appendancy for Finlay, and I just had a question perhaps for Andrew.
Michael. Karina, probably.
Just in relation, there was a plan to put a footpath along Kitstong Street, and then we did the other, we just put a sort of an all-weather track on the other side. Is there still a plan to have a
what, on both sides of the road? Is that what you're saying? On both sides of the road? No?
No, no. Well, I'm just checking because I know that we were putting a footpath on there a few years ago, probably 3 years ago, and there was sort of a bit of pushback from the community.
And then council directed us to move it to the other side of the road.
Yeah, so I'm just sort of, I yes. just could.
So no, we're not going to put one on both sides of the road.
No, that's good.
Having said that, since the path's been built, I've had pushback from the community saying why.
Lots of pushback from the community.
Yeah. On the other side, especially people with disabilities.
Who have to now cross the road twice to get to the footpath.
So they can provide comment on this while it's on public exhibition?
Mm-hmm.
We should be proactive in that.
But that's why it's not in the pamps, because we've already put it on the other side of the road.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not.
Any other questions
just
or comments?
Checking.
Yep, no, that's fine.
I just had to query, the population of Baruga says 1,600. Is that accurate?
Depends what definition you use, but we can certainly...
I didn't check the others, but it'd be good to make sure they're accurate. And the other thing mentioned that we have... blah, blah, blah. It's about lack of traffic in Vermont Street. It's in the pedestrian crossing, control pedestrian crossing, lack of development, however, the crossing reasonably located, blah, blah, blah. Hang on, where am I going? Anyway, it talks about lack of traffic. Someone said to me we have 6,000 crossings of that bridge every day and it goes primarily down Vermont Street, so I think lack of traffic is not entirely correct.
Okay, yeah, could you just send that and I'll just get that checked. It might be from, we might have.
I just want to make sure
update.
We're not just copying last time's PAMPS for the sake of it,
if
that's not accurate. So I haven't fact-checked the others because I don't have the facts.
No,
so
that's fine.
Any other comments? No? Okay. All in favour? Thank you, carried. Vermont Street Baruga Roundabout. The recommendation is that council consider both roundabout and traffic calming options and provide guidance as to a preferred approach, and that we receive a report from council staff at a later meeting detailing detailed design, engineering estimate and communications plan. Do we have a mover? Councillor Taylor, a seconder. Councillor McNaught. Our Director Infrastructure, would you like to speak to this?
Yes. So... We've had some initial concept designs done for a roundabout there, and a couple of things came to point when we're doing the works on the bridge and back towards the other bridge. We looked at the roundabout, thought, how are we ever going to be able to build that, and have we got enough money in the budget and their thinking for that? And once we'd gone through that process, the estimate came up to just shy of $1 million. And our budget's about half, the funded budget is about $500,000. So we wondered then whether we've got the right solution for now. If you go back and have a look at the master plan for the area, they highlighted as a problem back then. They suggested doing some traffic analysis. We haven't got to that stage yet because we've just done a bit of a concept.
Mm.
We noted how much, just a bit of traffic control backed up different things. Is a roundabout going to change that? We probably really want to do some more traffic assessment before we make a decision. But if a roundabout is really what we want, then we need to be tailoring thinking, looking for some more funding while we're doing that.
Mm. Yeah.
Is part of the issue, Michael, with the roundabout, is there a lot of... large trucks, large vehicles that go through there. So is there enough room to actually do a roundabout practically?
It'd be a compact drive-over.
They've done enough analysis to show that the trucks can get around.
Okay.
To do it properly, we might have to acquire a bit of land, but if we do it compact and drive-over, it can work.
The other thing is the line of sight. Like you, if you're on going towards the... adventure playground, for instance, coming up the golf course road, and you can't actually see up the bridge. And if you're going the other way, the bridge actually blocks vision completely. So getting across that intersection is quite difficult for the people who live there, especially with trucks are coming through.
Just as a are there other alternatives? Like, would you ever? Like, it seems to be the query, wasn't it originally, or the motivation was that there was danger for pedestrians? Is that one of the issues?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. What's the comparable cost of, say, lights? Like if you...
You mean installing traffic lights there?
Would
it's
that
a
be
third option.
it'd be a lot more, but...
Oh, it would be more?
But I think We're guessing whether the solution will work at the moment. We've got ourselves a bookend. We've said, okay, it's going to cost us about $1 million to build a roundabout, but we really should do some more work on.
Yep.
Why don't we just close the road and move the roundabout down to the next intersection?
Close what? True.
If they come off the bridge, where do they come off the bridge?
Well, golf course, what's called golf course road. If you just close that, they've got to come round the block. Take the intersection out.
And they go round to the left.
It just means they've got to go round, round the block.
Instead in the main street.
We're redoing the roads, but I'm
Because
at the moment, you know, we've got all this and we're spending a million, but it's still not doing exactly what we want. We're really not. We're still playing with the issue.
So you've got to have a look at the bridge. Instead of being able to turn left,
you'd have to go down the next
one. You go to the next one, turn left.
You go around down the golf course, the sporties, wherever you want.
Have a talk to Bobby about it.
We have to really investigate what are the options.
What we're doing here is, you know, we're only going over the top, it's not actually fixing the problem. All right, might be a little bit better, but it's still going to be blind no matter what you're doing.
Yeah, that's why we're not willing to rush in.
I think the point the director infrastructure is making, and one that I have made repeatedly to members of BAG, is that we need the experts to actually do the work to tell us whether the roundabout is actually the correct solution.
Yes.
And I think we actually got traction at the BAG meeting last night on that. First time ever. So can I ask, in terms of these calming measures, calming options, does that include the footpath on the opposite side of Vermont Street? Yes. So that wasn't entirely clear, so that's all right. And then it would also include relocating that pedestrian crossing that's currently in Vermont Street.
Yes.
And adding another one so they're closer together. And that would be the starting point along with some assessment, and then we see where we're at.
Would we make them reduction
in speed down Vermont?
It definitely could be. I think we'd have to do an analysis on the pedestrian crossing to see whether we raise them.
Yeah. There's like a traffic calm.
We kind of turned the problem around and said, well, if the problem is the pedestrians, what will we do for that?
Yeah.
But that doesn't necessarily fix the traffic. So I think we just need to do a bit more work on it.
I think start with the pedestrians, do the work, and then see what where we're at. All right. I think that's what the community would be keen to see at this stage.
So if I could.
Yes.
Through you, Mayor. We have got the money from LRCIP4, we haven't actually submitted to the funding body yet, but it had been penciled in to construct this roundabout. It's $501,000 off the top of my head. How would the council like that spent?
So it says 506.
506, pardon me.
Traffic calming 615. So we're suggesting we could do some of that and then we can top up. Is that possible?
Yep, absolutely. You can ask the Director of Infrastructure to tailor his work for a $500,000 budget, or you could, given you've already got a budget that's already in front of you now, to try and find and allocate an additional $100,000 to do the entire work, or you could take your $500,000 and spend it on a road elsewhere.
It's not on the roundabout. It's on the other stuff. Is everyone clear on that? This is not the roundabout.
So the 500, that's
not the roundabout. It's the
crossings, basically.
The crossings and the footpath, so we don't have someone in a walker walking on the road.
So, we'll park the roundabout for the moment. Is that the idea? But we'll do things that will ameliorate or mitigate any risk for pedestrians, is it?
Because we don't have evidence that the roundabout will be effective in terms of traffic management at this point. Am I right in saying that?
Yes.
Okay.
So the intent, though, is that once you've done this, that if the roundabout suggests that it is useful, we can add to that later on. But the idea is come to find. We'll know before then.
Yeah, we certainly won't. We'll future-proof what we do. So there's even comments in there that they're going to change parking and they're going to change land use to recreation use. So we really want to think about that before we plonk around about.
Yep. Councillor Hannan.
With the traffic calming option, isn't there technology out there now, Michael, that you can actually build on top anyway going forward? If you had to.
sorry, Councillor, build on top.
Bolted on.
So if you're going to change the pattern of the traffic, what you'll know is mitigation works around the actual and directing the traffic in different ways, isn't there technology out there now that can actually in the future still build on top of whatever works you do there?
Oh, so, yes, certainly. Yep.
So I guess the outstanding question is whether we want to consider adjusting the budget to make up the 109,000 shortfall. It says we could pavement repairs approximately 100,000 could come under the regional emergency road repair fund, and lighting about 40,000 under Stronger Country Communities Fund round 5.
They were just ideas. Then,
right? Ideas.
What is the lighting achieve?
Sorry, Director Strategy Planning Development's been waiting.
Just be mindful that as outlined, haven't figured out the ultimate. So you could be spending money on things that you're actually going to have to reallocate. A suggestion could be that you actually give it to a traffic engineer, let them exhaust all of the avenues that are preferred design as part of your LRCR budget.
Yep.
Once you determine that, determine how much is left and what works, you might be able to stage out of your older map. But here we're putting the cart.
Yep.
Determine the roundabout, and then we're trying to retrofit things around that solution. But as I said, it might not be the best outcome.
So can we say 506,000 investigate? See what the traffic calming options not defined. We do want the footpath though.
just to be clear.
Just to be sure. and then you'll come back to us.
Yeah. The footpath, I assume like that's the one that's already there we're going to repair.
Other side.
Oh, big shed.
Yeah, because there isn't a footpath on that side, and I have seen it myself where people walk up the road and there's trucks trying to interface.
So the people on the other side are up for half of it?
That's an option. It's an option.
Normally for
curbing. I know, we'd said previously when we've discussed this that we wouldn't do that because it's a mix of commercial and residential, but we could consider it.
Commercial don't normally pay?
If it means we've got enough funding to make it safer for everyone, I'm not that troubled.
Yeah,
I'm just running by the different rules.
I'll be calling over every morning when I've got my coffee.
So I think it's something we have to look into, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So if we include that in the mix, agreed.
So we are working out a scope of works to spend the $506,000
with the calming options and to consider with, and part of that is considering whether a half cost footpath isn't appropriate. Do we need to change? I don't think we need to change the recommendation. Oh, it says detailed design engineering estimate and communications plan. It's probably a step before that. So perhaps we add, if the mover and seconder are happy, a preliminary scope. Report?
Yeah, I'm happy with
that.
Yep.
Which will include design and estimate.
Yep.
We know we're on budget.
Okay.
Yep.
Excellent. All right. All in favour? Very good. Carried. Thank you. Good discussion. Operational plan review 816. It's not on the agenda as a number. What is that? Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Just luck.
Operational plan review, January to March 2024. The recommendation is that Council adopt the appended March quarter review of Council's annual operation plan 23-24. Do we have a mover? Councillor Hattie, seconder, Councillor Taylor. Any questions or comments? Okay, all in favour? Thank you, carried. 8:16, all right. 8:17.
Really strategic plan.
Sorry, I'm just scrolling.
Getting
this is how I missed one before. Community strategic plan. The recommendation is that council note submissions and feedback from the community while on public exhibition, endorse Berrigan Shire 2040, attach its report as Berrigan Shire Council's community strategic plan, direct the CEO to use Berrigan Shire 2040 as a framework to develop the 24-25 suite of integrated plans and reports, and place versions of Berrigan Shire 24 plan on a page on public display in a prominent position in each town. Do we have a mover? Councillor Taylor, second to Councillor Reynoldson. All right, any questions or comments? No? All right, all in favour?
Can I just say great work to Keelan and the team, because that's been a huge job. I don't think anyone realises how big that job has been, and she's done beautifully keeping it on track. Thank you.
Yeah, well done. Okay, thank you. That was carried. We will now move to 8.18. So the recommendation is that council adopt the following draft plans and strategies and policy for public exhibition and comment: the draft long-term financial plan 24-35, the draft delivery program 24-28, the draft annual operational plan 24-25, and draft statement of revenue policy included in the draft operational plan 24-25. Place the suite of draft and reviewed integrated plans on public exhibition for at least 28 days from Thursday 16 May, wrong year here, should be 24, until 5 p.m. on Thursday 13 June 24, and consider and order submissions received concerning the reviewed suite of integrated plans and adopt with any amendments to the plans at the ordinary meeting held at 9 a.m. Wednesday 19 June 2024. Do we have a mover? Councillor Reynoldson, seconder Councillor Taylor.
Can I just
direct to corporate services
through you, Mayor? Can I just make a comment in the within the report document? It notes that there's a minor budget surplus over the next 12 months. A minor change was made post writing this report, and we now have a minor cash deficit of $8,000.
Okay. Any other comments? I just wanted to note these are draft, and then if there are any incremental changes that we want to suggest between during the exhibition period, we could do those.
They'll have to, they come back to council for voting on at the
June meeting.
Yep.
Okay.
So then they've got to go out to public consultation for 28 days.
Not a second time.
Okay, so it depends on what changes you make. So there's no law. There's no guideline that says you must send them back out. However, the guidelines, the integrated planning reporting guidelines, say that if you're going to make a significant change, then you need to give the community a chance to respond. Otherwise, you can't do a bait and switch. So if we're going to sit there and say, well, we put one up and we're only going to raise rates by 2%, and now we're going to go to that consultation, now we're going to raise them by 3%, or we're going to go out and borrow another $2 million to go and build an art gallery, that you didn't tell them about initially, then I think you'd find that the community would expect it, and if the community complained to OLG and the minister, they would come back to you. So it's about using your judgment about what is a significant change that would need to go out to the community again. But yes, you can, if you choose, make changes to your budget. That's the whole point of it going out on public exhibition, is for the public to come back to you and say, have you thought about X or Y? What you don't want to be seen is going to a bait and switch thing where you put one out on exhibition, then you make all the bad news ones when they haven't had a chance to.
Yeah. So when we put up those suggested changes for council to once it's at the end, we'll say, is that considered a significant change? Because if it is, then yes, we'll go back out on public exhibition. If it's not, we'll keep it in house.
Yep.
It's just moving things around in budget lines.
Yep. Councillor Hattie?
What we were talking earlier about the federal budget, that's not this, might affect this system, it's the next year. I guess I'm talking about the
FAG. Like a FAG's not coming in advance. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm going to have to take that on notice and look into it. It only came out at 7:30 last night. But there is potential that if we don't receive any of our FAG in advance, that yes, it will have a detrimental effect on our budget for this financial year, on our cash budget. I'll have to take it on notice
and look into it. Receive it. We're not getting it in advance. When do they normally give it to you? You don't know.
depends on the year.
Depends on the year.
So, yeah. For example, this financial year, this for 23-24 financial assistance grants got paid 100% in the 22-23 financial year, so got paid 100% in advance. Traditionally, and to be honest, since I've been here, we've had two, I think, paid 50% in advance, one paid 75% in advance, and one paid 100% in advance. This last financial year, they sent an email around, I think it was like the 28th of June, saying you'd be getting 100% in advance. On the 30th of June, it was in our bank. So that's how much notice we get.
We can still hear. Wait, I'm just saying, don't turn around and say, well, you're not getting it until June next year. We're going to run until the end of it.
Oh, so, sorry. What usually happens is they pay instalments. So if they paid it all in the relevant financial year, they would pay it in, they generally paid in quarterly instalments.
Correct. So what we'll do is through next year, year, though, we will keep reminding council that at the end of the year we don't believe we're going to have fags in advance. So this is what's going to happen, because I think there's no other way to make sure it stays on our radar.
But yeah, they aren't particularly good at letting us know in advance when we're going to receive. Like, we've had no notification about when we're going to receive next year's financial assistance grant at all. So the assumption that you would make now after the budget release, because from my knowledge, they're not looking at paying anything in advance. So
it's like everything else, they're not intending to pay for about 5 years either.
So you would expect, you would make the assumption now probably that you're going to get your fag paid in normal quarterly instalments. That would be the assumption that you would make based on the data available at the moment.
Be the first time in about 8 years or so that we're actually getting paid in the year that all of it in the year it's entitled to. And all it's ever been, to be frank, it's the federal government number trick to try and show their deficits are increasing or reducing. It's just literally about, we want the deficit to be in this year or that year, so we move it around. Anything where they talk about how it's helping local government by getting cash on early, it's a rationalisation. It's nonsense, and we shouldn't believe it.
It makes it very hard to budget accurately as well.
Excellent. On that note, all in favour of the recommendation? Yep, carried. Thank you. All right. Notice of motion, questions with notice, we have none. Confidential matters, we have none. Motions without notice and questions without notice. I do have one. It came to my attention yesterday that RAMJO has a current priorities paper in relation to the Murray-Darling Basin Plan and water buybacks that they gave to the Minister, Rose Jackson, Minister Ford, on the 14th of March that hadn't formally gone through RAMJO. And it indicates that while they don't support buybacks, that they do support the plan. Not in whole, but the spirit of the plan, and it mentions in a few parts that it supports the Murray-Darling Basin Plan. The document was signed on behalf of 11 councils. I was abundantly clear that we do not support the plan. We have a resolution to that effect. So I'm less than happy with that scenario. But before, we've got a water committee tomorrow, we've got RAMJO on Friday. Before I raise that issue, I wanted to see with... We needed to, if we've changed our mind, and if so, we'll move a motion. And if we haven't, I'll move forward and express my disappointment and ask them to take our names off it. Councillor Reynolds. Well, they call it a current priorities paper. They are updating it and continuing to circulate it, as I understand. So they have already given it to the minister. I'm not, but.
They send an apology and say we've misprinted.
I'll be sending a letter to say that
we'll be
we don't.
Writing saying sorry, that was a mistake, that we do
I
not
understand.
That. Yeah,
they've read the report. You know,
oh, I know.
Who's going to see the retraction? Anyway, that's not.
Yeah,
I totally agree with them. We're not happy about the basement plan. That's not.
I get that stuff in it will happen. I just think that we shouldn't start from a hole. But it's okay. We like the plan. I feel it's stronger to say we don't like the plan. We don't like what you've done. We don't like any of it. And then push on. But unfortunately, that's not what this paper says.
So you'll specifically write to the minister and say, yeah, well, that probably, that'll get more notice than what the other bit probably did, because it'll be separate, totally on by itself.
True. Yeah, but we'll also ask them to take off. So it was redated to yesterday's date with the same signature saying on behalf of 11 councils. I can name at least two, which I won't publicly, who also would not agree with the content. So and I'll ask them to change that to only have the signatures of mayors of councils who agree with that.
And I will say feedback to that Southern Riverina Drought Resilience Plan so far has strongly from three communities. We've had been requested extension for the time frame from one particular group to say this doesn't consider the effect of the 450 gigalitre buyback and the Murray-Darling Basin Plan sufficiently, and we want to give you more information. So I think it's pretty clear we've got a few communities that are not happy. So,
isn't it? It's obviously disappointing, though, from a process point of view that you're part of RAMJO and there's a representation that this is what all the councils... probably as concerning as anything.
Yes. I don't think Julia could have been any more clear that our council isn't supporting the plan at all.
No, and I went and checked the minutes to see if there was something I missed. I checked the minutes of the Water Subcommittee. I checked the minutes of the last RAMJO meeting. There's nothing I missed. I was abundantly clear. In fact, we put up a press release that said exactly that. And, yeah, so I agree. They can't be signing things on behalf of us without actual agreement. It's not good.
Yeah.
I haven't raised it yet. I only received it yesterday.
Sorry.
Even though it'd been handed out.
It seemed unusual to basically go ahead, play ahead with a view. Which is
no, with all the group. So the subcommittee meeting's tomorrow and I intend to raise it then, our disappointment. And then the actual RAMJO meeting is on Friday where I'll raise, again, our disappointment at the broader issue, as you mentioned. Councillor Taylor, that they can't be representing us without our permission.
Well, the other issue is our position is not new.
No.
It's not like we have ever had a different position and changed it.
No. And I did check the position that we moved in November or December RAMJO meeting was against buybacks. It wasn't against the plan itself, so that's fine. But what we brought to the last meeting in February was very clear that Berrigan-shire does not support the plan in any way, shape or form. And I repeated that to the minister who was in attendance. So I'm assuming I've got permission to plough on.
Keep ploughing.
I recommend getting a resolution to that effect. We'd like a resolution.
Yes. So I move that I write to the minister to indicate that Berrigan-shire Council objects to the Murray-Darling Basin Plan. And water buybacks, more specifically. Don't need to be specific. Leave
probably
the first bit.
Of caution getting a resolution.
Should we also be making a comment on the program? Seems to be the RAMJO already has. I think some councils have mentioned. There's an ad on the telly at the moment, which is.
It's from the federal minister.
Yeah,
that's from the plan. It's
they came to us and they said, "Oh, can you do a piece?" And we were so like, no, we're not involved in this. We're not doing anything with it. We don't want anything to do with your ad. So I think they've changed the wording to sort of say, to make it sound like, all councils.
Just referring to television ad?
Yeah. So, let's deal with these separately. So let's start with, we'll write to Minister Jackson about the plan.
Yep.
So we've got that. Councillor Hattie seconded for that one. Councillor Taylor, all in favour? Yes. Would you like us to write to Minister Plebisic to say we object to the advertising?
No, I just think it was a little bit, it wasn't sending a very pleasant message about education in the area, in our region. It basically suggested we were doing all the wrong things and thought that was a bit unfair. And they sent this all around Australia to justify what they're proposing.
So you think it's inaccurate?
Who's in it?
Okay, all right. So we'll move to write to Minister Plebisic in relation to the messaging in the advertising. Are you happy with that information? Yeah. And Councillor Reynolds, would you like to second that? Okay, all in favour? There's some work for you, CEO.
It's all good. It's all good.
Any other motions or questions without notice? All right, we'll go to council reports. My report, I'll keep it brief. I was in Kimpunda with the Australian Rural Leadership Program 13th to 20th of April, and there were some interesting things in relation to that youth digitisation project, digital museum stuff, which I've progressed, which will be quite useful for us, so that's good. I've been meetings in relation to that project. I had Anzac Day in Cobram and Baruga on the 25th. I had a brunch in Baruga for the Soroptimists on the 28th. 29th, I had a briefing from Murrumbidgee Local Health District regarding Finlay Hospital, and you all have the correspondence relating to that. On the 29th, I went to the Victorian PGA Associates opening dinner in Tokemoor. And on the Friday, the 3rd of May, I went to the trophy presentation. That was the best dinner that they've had, I thought. Very good speaker. We didn't get it. It was gender neutral. We have had issues in the past. It was really good. On the 2nd of May, I met with the Tokemoor Statue Committee. They're getting some ideas on how they might fund their statue. And last week, the CEO and I were in Sydney. We went to the Rural Regional Summit on the 9th of May. The minister spoke. Very interested in sustainability, interested in the code of meeting practice. It sounds like he's actually going to redraft it himself.
And the code of conduct. I don't know, I wrote the arrow terms of reference,
so, you know, I can't criticise. have you got anything else to say about the minister while I'm thinking of it?
Not that I'm going to.
Then we went to Country Mayors on Friday. That was good. And
I've since had contact with Dr. Drew, who
spoke at both events.
Yeah, and he's very big on some of the stuff about council sustainability. So I asked him about the sustainability report I'm developing, and whilst he's not going to help me with it, he said that later on if council wanted them, because I can't do the ugly algebra he can do, so I said if that's an outcome of that, then I'll get him to help me with that. It's really ugly, but it does actually give you really good data about your sustainability and long-term prospects sort of thing. So he's very good at that, but I can't do it.
And yesterday I had the Baruga Advancement Group and the Director of Strategic Planning and Development attended. Thank you for doing that. It was a really good meeting, and hopefully some of those topics will not re-emerge on our agenda in the future. Andrew did very well dealing with some of our more vocal members. So that's all from me. We'll go to our verbal reports from delegates. Councillor Taylor, anything to report?
I haven't got anything. So.
Councillor Reynolds?
Just Zach March. We had a good crowd at Berry. Went well.
Yep, excellent. Councillor Hannan?
Just Anzac Day service and 11 o'clock service.
Beauty. Councillor McNaught? Nothing. Councillor Hattie?
Anzac Day, and I've never seen so many aeroplanes in flight.
I think Cobram was a record crowd too, so yeah. It was good to see big crowds everywhere. Clint. CEO, anything?
Oh, I think we've been everywhere with you. There has been a few other bits and pieces in the background that I've been doing. Those reports will come through as they've got just lots
they're prepared. Of yep. Okay. Deputy CEO? Nothing. Director of Corporate Services? Going around. Director of Infrastructure?
All good, thank you.
Oh, well done on the Cobram Baruga Road. I think that should be noted for the record. Went from, oh my God, our business are losing money, to thank yous. And people are just so happy. So well done.
Stoked with the professionalism.
That's the best road I've driven off ages. Can we use that contractor a bit more?
We are using him. We are using them quite a lot, actually.
Director Strategic Plan Development? No. And our communications guru in the corner? No.
I will just say I'm back on the Industrial Advisory Committee. There are a few changes internally of interest. Senior staff will be moved out of the Local Government Act as an actual thing. They can only then be engaged under award-based contracts or directly under the award, as our senior staff already are. And there's another couple of things in the background that are happening in that industrial relations type area. So I think it's important that I stay engaged with that committee because there's some changes coming.
Excellent. So our next ordinary council meeting will be on Wednesday, 19th of June from 9 a.m. in the chambers, and we'll close our meeting at 10:37 a.m. Record time. Well done, everyone.
Who's in charge of traffic committee?
Director of Infrastructure, I think.
I
Darren Froome.
Darren Froome. So I'm filling in for Carly. Am I supposed to get an agenda or information? Or
if there's a meeting, yes, I can follow up. I'll play Michael and I'll follow up with Darren.
Send whatever I need to know through.
Darren and Natasha have been on the committee.
Yeah.
Excellent. We knew we'd be done at 10:38. And we've had a break.
Been amazing. Thank you.